our meeting to remember our Lord and ask Brother David to come forward and help prepare our minds for that.
Thank you, and a very good morning to you, my dear brothers and sisters. It's good to be here with you virtually, and it will be nice to get back to more physical meetings together very soon, we pray. We've been reading in our first reading over the last week or so, Moses' final exhortation to Israel before he dies in the book of Deuteronomy. And he spends time going over what's happened in the 40 years since they've left Egypt. And I suppose that the core message that Moses was trying to get across was, we've got to learn from our mistakes. We've got to learn from the things that have happened to us, and we've got to draw closer to God. If you have a Bible in front of you, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, where we have the exhortation of Moses. Let's begin at verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should go in the land, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall say, hear all these, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath a God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath great statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So Moses was saying, look at the things that have happened to you over the last 40 years. Look at how the Lord has delivered you. Look at how the Lord has been with you and has taught you and has reprimanded you and has chastised you. And learn from these things, because the nations around will see you and they will see that the Lord is close to you. And that's an incredible thing. And this is the message that Moses keeps repeating. The beginning of verse 5, Moses called all Israel and said to, sorry, chapter 5, Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments that I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. And he goes on to recount how God gave the Ten Commandments through him to the nation of Israel. Yet when we come down to verse 28 of chapter 5, we read, the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto me. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and go with them forever. And yet we know that this wasn't to be the case, that their heart was not always with the Lord. Very often they didn't want to hear. They didn't want that close relationship with the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth. And this message keeps coming out, doesn't it? Verse 1 of chapter 6. These are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. The Lord has taught you, go and do those things that he's taught you. Keep them in your heart. Chapter 7 and verse 6, thou art an holy people to the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people to himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And so over and over, this special relationship that the nation have with the Lord their God, which has been demonstrated over and over in the things that God has done for them. Moses keeps bringing this out. And in today's chapter, chapter 10, we read in verse 16, Moses says to the people, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And this is what it was all about, wasn't it, brothers and sisters? Yet Moses saying, look at the way the Lord has treated you. Look at his long-suffering. Look at his faithfulness. You've entered into a covenant with him, and it's your responsibility to keep your side of that covenant. Circumcise the foreskin of your hearts. It wasn't the physical things that the Lord was interested in. It wasn't the sacrifices. It wasn't the ordinances. It wasn't all the letter of the law that the Lord wanted from his people. He wanted their hearts. The law was there to teach them. Paul said to the Galatians, it was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. It was their hearts that the Lord God wanted them. Just come across to chapter 11, the other chapter for today. At the beginning of chapter 11, the Lord Moses says, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand and his stretched out arm. So Moses is saying, you have first-hand experience of this. It's not as if I'm talking to your children who haven't experienced all these things. You were there. You saw what the Lord did for you. You have seen how he has brought you through the wilderness. You've seen how he's cared for you, how he's provided for you, how he's given you the manna and the quail, how he has delivered you from the hands of your enemies, how he's given you his law and his commandments. Look at verse 7 of chapter 11. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. So Moses's message was clear. The Lord is with you. The Lord will take you into the land. He wants to give it to you, but you need to circumcise your hearts. You need to dedicate yourselves to him. You need to be close to him, and he will be close to you. So what about us then, brothers and sisters? Because we're in a covenant relationship with the Lord as well, aren't we? We are under the new covenant, not the law of Moses, but the law of love through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here to remember him today. We're here to remember him and remember what God has done for us so that we might be delivered from the spiritual Egypt, that we might be brought through the wilderness and into the promised land of the kingdom. And so let's think about the Lord Jesus Christ and about how he acted during his ministry with those around him. Just come to Mark chapter 3 for a moment, because we've got a real contrast, well, all the way through the Gospels, but it comes out in Mark chapter 3, this contrast between those who were keeping, as it were, the letter of the law, those whose hearts were not circumcised, the Jewish leaders, that the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted the law for themselves. They wanted it for their own ends. They wanted it for the power that it gave them and the sense of self-righteousness that it gave to them. But the Lord Jesus Christ isn't interested in any of that, is he? Mark chapter 3, verse 14, for example, the Lord ordained 12 that they might be with him and he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. So the Lord Jesus Christ chooses his 12 disciples. And we've just been reading earlier in the chapter about the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders. And on the face of it, they would have been the obvious choice to be the disciples of the Lord, wouldn't they? They knew the law. They knew the scriptures. It was their job to bring Israel closer to their God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ goes out and he picks fishermen, he picks tax collectors, he picks all of those who you would have had no confidence in from a human point of view to spread the word of the Lord. And yet they were the ones that the Lord Jesus could see wanted to be close to God, wanted to have that covenant relationship with him. And in this chapter, chapter 3 of Mark, we read in verse 20 that there were so many people coming to see Jesus, the multitude cometh together again, so as they could not so much as eat bread. The Lord Jesus Christ was surrounded. His message had real resonance with the people of the land. Verse 21, when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hands on him. Now, my margin says they're kinsmen. So here was the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've gone out to lay hands on Jesus because they thought he was mad. He's beside himself, they said. And it seems they've been listening to the Jewish leaders. They've been listening to the scribes and the Pharisees, because they said, verse 22, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. So it seems that the family of the Lord Jesus Christ were being used by the scribes and Pharisees to try and discredit Jesus. They thought he was mad, and they were coming to take him away. And they try again in verse 31. Then came his brethren without and his mother, and standing without, they sent to him, calling him. And we know the response of Jesus. He's very clear. Verse 32, the multitude sat about him, and they said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And Jesus answered, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked round about them which sat down with him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So the Lord Jesus Christ was very clear. Those he considered to be his family, those he wanted to spend his time with, were those who wanted to learn about the love of God for his people, those who wanted to learn about the good news of the coming kingdom. These were his family. These were the ones who wanted to be close to God, and so he would bring closer to God. And we're here to remember him today, aren't we? We've been called out as brothers and sisters, as the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, as sons and daughters of God, because we have desired to be close to him. And what an incredible thing that is. What an incredible honor, what an incredible privilege it is to be called to be in that relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. Remember the words that we read in the first epistle of John and chapter 3. Behold, 1 John 3 and verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, Now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What an incredible thing that is, brothers and sisters, isn't it? And yet we're not like Israel in the wilderness, are we? That they had that shared experience, they had that shared background, they had all come through the sea, they had all lived in the wilderness, they'd seen the provision of God in the manna on the land every day. They'd had the law given to them, that they were immersed in it. And we're not like that, are we? We come from very, very different backgrounds, but we have this amazing thing in common, don't we? We've all chosen to come close to God and to be part of his family. And just like Israel, we have entered a covenant with the living God. And that means that our backgrounds don't mean anything, do they, in that respect? It doesn't matter that we have different experiences. It doesn't matter that we come from different backgrounds. We have this amazing shared hope, this hope that sits at the center of our lives. And it's a hope that gives us incredible confidence, isn't it? Remember what the Lord said to his disciples in Luke chapter 12. He said, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So just as Moses was exhorting Israel in Deuteronomy, that the Lord would take them and give them that land flowing with milk and honey, so the Lord Jesus exhorts us. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. What an amazing thing. What amazing stability that gives us in our lives, particularly at the moment when there's so much uncertainty. We're surrounded by uncertainty, aren't we? All over the world, this pandemic has shown us just how fragile the things of man are. And yet we have absolute certainty that the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, it is his good pleasure to give us his kingdom. And I'm sure any of us can think of many verses that give us that confidence. We think of Romans chapter 8, for example, the words that we know well. We know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? We've just read in Acts chapter 1, haven't we, the words of the angel as the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. This same Jesus, the angel said, which hath ascended up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We can have absolute confidence, can't we, brothers and sisters, that the Lord our God, the one with whom we are in a relationship, a covenant relationship, will care for us if we draw close to him. And it's an incredible source of comfort to us, no matter what difficulties we have in our lives, no matter what our backgrounds are, no matter what our troubles are. We all have that same shared hope of the coming kingdom. Just come across to the first epistle of John and chapter 4, because Israel had been given the law, hadn't they? They'd been given the law of Moses, that with all its ordinances and with all its commandments. And yet we remember that the Lord Jesus in John chapter 13 gave his disciples a new commandment, that we should love one another even as he has loved us. And John picks up on this in his first epistle and chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so it's a real practical hope, it's a practical lifestyle, if you like, that the Lord Jesus gives us, that we have in that covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we love God, if we want to draw close to God, then we need to be showing that love to our brothers and sisters in his family. We need to be showing that love to those around us in showing them the hope that we have in our lives. And we're here today to remember the sacrifice of our Lord, aren't we, in breaking bread and drinking wine. And a little earlier in that chapter, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And we're here today, brothers and sisters, to examine ourselves, aren't we? We're here today, just as Moses encouraged Israel to look at themselves and to renew that covenant. We're here to renew that covenant in our hearts before God. We're here to remember Jesus in the bread and in the wine. We're here to remember all that God has done for us. We're here to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what our backgrounds, no matter what our challenges, we have this incredible thing in common. And let's encourage one another in these things. Let's remember that we have been called to be a part of the family of the living God, that it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom if we draw near to him. Thank you.